Hey there, this is Mr. Nobody, episode 33, a magical age. Tonight marks 3 years since my son died.
It was this calendar date.
He still would have been playing baseball out in the cul-de-sac in front of his house. With his roommates, maybe 20 minutes from now, he would be going into the house,
stating that he was going to take a shower
and do a little studying before school the next day.
The next day would not be around for him. Or maybe it's better said that he would not be around for the next day.
He had just started his last year at his university. His roommate relayed to me that he tried to get him to play some video game. And my son said, nah.
I gotta get myself together for tomorrow.
And his roommate said, come on, man. And my son said, no, I gotta get a good night's sleep. He took a shower, and then he went into his room, and, whatever happens in there happens. All I know is when I talked to the policeman the next day, he said there was no
evidence of foul play.
Foul play. What a great fucking term, right? Foul play. I asked him how he died after I was
finished screaming.
And he said, undetermined, but we believe it to be
narcotics.
I was
screaming,
no. That's ridiculous.
That's crazy.
How do you know? They said that they found the drug paraphernalia, the rig, or I can't remember what he said.
Bullshit.
Probably still attached to him, or maybe not, because his roommates tried to revive him hours after he was gone.
Not him.
I've been confused, I guess, because I thought, oh, it's been 2 years.
No wonder it feels so
raw, so fresh. Tonight, as I was taking a cab over to see my daughter and have dinner with her, and my wife, I pieced together where I was last year. And I realized it was 3 years, not 2 years. Yeah. Fuck. I also thought it was tomorrow, not tonight. Not him. Ironically, today I worked with the same guy who I was working with the night my son did this. And 3 years ago I did take a job to help my friend paint an apartment, and I worked around 3 in the morning. I had this overwhelming
darkness
come over me, like a blanket of darkness. Now that shouldn't seem so strange. I had worked an enormously long day.
3 in the morning.
Yeah. But the odd thing was that I laid down on my wife's side of the bed, which I never do.
And I didn't even take my feet off the floor. I just sat down and then laid back. And I entered into what I would call a fugue state. It wasn't sleep. But it wasn't awake. I was gone. It's like the bed swallowed me and I just was nowhere. But I felt an overwhelming sense of dread. I don't know how to describe it in another state between this life and whatever else happens. This was the exact time that my son was dying. Just ebbing away from this world because of the juice contained in this stupid fucking needle. I can't say that he was contacting me or not, I don't know, but that happened. It was like I was in a grave and dirt was being shoveled on top of me and I couldn't move. I could not move my body. And I know it was him, my connection to him, like the way twins are connected when one has a heart attack thousands of miles away. The other one just knows there was something twin-like about us. We both had secrets. We both had depth. We both had love and complexity. We discussed that a lot. We ran through furrows of our own psychology and let the other person in on those things. I didn't want to keep anything from my son, although I did. I kept things from him. And he kept things from me. And here we are.
Not him, not him, not him,
not him,
not him, not him, not him, not him, not him, not him.
It isn't that I don't believe people shouldn't have their own private lives. I do. I think those can be very important and probably inevitable. Using heroin was not on
my radar.
There's so much deception that goes into
hiding
a fact like that, a habit like that.
I feel like I failed my son.
I failed as a father because I didn't detect something so extreme.
Something that would kill him.
And he did a really masterful job
hiding it.
And it just lets me know that I'm
deceivable.
I see what I want to see. And once something like that happens on this level, everything becomes suspect.
Everybody's motives become
questionable, even dark.
Talking to my daughter tonight, she said, he didn't give us a chance to try to talk to him where we could have implored,
begged,
pleaded, all the things that really don't work.
I wish they did.
I'm trying to become more understanding about why somebody would even take heroin. And I understand one thing, that once you're in it, you're
being drowned
in its bullshit. When I see pictures of my son,
which recently popped up,
because this is the third anniversary of his
death, pictures that I'm unfamiliar with, new pictures, if you will, I get so angry. Not just sad.
I get really fucking angry. What is that? What engenders that emotion from seeing his image? He did fucking kill himself for the reason of getting high. Escaping from reality. He wasn't in pain. I always said he was celebrating.
He was so fucking beautiful that I think sometimes people can't handle their own miracle
of existence.
Existence. Not a word I use very often. The fact that we're able to only look like ourselves, only think the thoughts that are organic to our process.
Pretty fucking cool.
And then to feel that sting that he's gone.
Before his time, whatever that means, because obviously, that was his time. But it wasn't. That was not supposed to be his time.
He knows what his father would have felt. I recently heard a quotation from Freud that says, a person doesn't become their own person until they lose their father.
Or their father dies.
And I thought about my own father's death when I was 13 and how awful it was, but yet what a relief to have his tyrannical
abusive
power just gone.
It was like a fucking miracle.
Again, that word. But to lose my son is almost like to lose not just his life,
but my own. My dream life.
Not him, not him, not him.
Not him.
Not him.
Not him.
Not him.
Not him.
Not him. Not him. Not him. Not him.
Not him.
Not him. Not him. Not him. I kept screaming into the phone. Not him.
I just didn't think it would ever be him.
People talk so much about stigma and shame. How can I unfeel those things? Stigma is a mark, something that marks something that really happens.
Or has happened.
It's not a judgment, it's a mark. You can't erase history. No matter what you do, what happened, happened. Shame. I don't know. What do I do with it? I can't just pretend it away. I'm trying to understand.
I'm trying to understand.
I'm trying to understand. 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 There's no good reason.
Understand. Understand. Trying to understand.
That I can find. That can comfort me. With which I can be proud of my son again. It fucking sucks. That's the part of the betrayal where it's the inverse image. And it's seared into me like a brand. And I don't want it there. But I can't pretend. That's my stigma. My mark. It's a shameful way to die. And it's a black mark. At least for me. Just today I was practicing and realizing everything I'm practicing is
a conversation
that I would have had with him all about how
you start this melodic minor scale off the fifth of a fucking dominant chord.
I have nobody to tell that. Nobody who I trust.
There's a word.
Sometimes when you talk, things come out that you didn't know were in there.
And we're limited by our own language, with our limited grasp on it, and its relative shadings. When you've been betrayed, you don't believe that you know anybody anymore. Not like you did. Exactly why I use the word betrayed. It's like we had a future that we were supposed to have. And I was going to watch him grow. And he was going to be the last person I saw when I died. Shit like that. Makes it hard, very difficult, to enjoy the good things that we had, and there were many, but all of it now is seen through this camera obscura, where the image is flipped upside down and is projected against the back of a wall of a cave. How could something like that naturally exist here?
him.
But it was him.
One thing that really disturbs me is that my son's actions reveal what he really wanted.
What he really wanted. He's not the totality of deciding to use heroin and disconnect from this world, but that decision created a totality. It created a destiny. And so it has more weight than something benign or healthy or even ambiguous.
Now there's an interesting thought. Is anything ambiguous? Is anything
natural?
From a human standpoint, it seems like everything, every action that we take is motivated
by some appetite
or desire to gain something we don't have, whether it be
an equilibrium,
some profit, some pleasure.
We have to face ourselves.
I have to face myself. Here's a question. Am I getting something
What am I getting
out of this? Out of my anger, my resentment.
What am I getting?
I see other people in the world overcome. They overcome their loss or their grief, and they even move into spheres where they
channel that
into helping other people or have some meaning come out of it.
Some purpose.
I haven't done that. I haven't helped anybody that I know of.
That I know of.
I am harboring anger and bitterness towards
my son.
Not him, not him, not him.
Not him.
For what he did. What he chose. What I had to tell his sister. What I had to tell his mother. And just the
ragged fucking hole he left in all of us. Into that.
I had a contract with my son, what I considered a sacred contract, a blood contract.
Soul to soul.
Mind to mind. Future to future. Father to son.
And son to father. My word.
My word. My word. My word. What I had with my son far exceeded anything I thought I could feel. I was giving him
what I was deprived of.
A father. Support.
Counsel.
Space. Intelligence. And a commitment
from me
that I would not stop improving myself. I wouldn't stop learning and bettering myself so that he didn't have to see his father degrade, degrade,
degrade.
That we would live parallel, beautiful parallel journeys.
There was a lot of things in that contract. Concrete things.
Like education, skills, ethics, like hard work, kindness.
Controlling your temper.
Taking care of your body.
Your body and mind
can't live without each other.
Your diet.
Helping other people.
Not supporting them.
In their dark intentions.
Knowing the difference. A commitment to honest communication.
Those were concrete stipulations in our contract. There were some softer stipulations in our contract. Things that you can't
force
or insist on. They were just as important. Like training together.
Teach me. I'll teach you.
The guitar. Serious fucking guitar work and play.
Understanding.
How music works. Discoveries.
Growing our emotional palate.
I'm trying to communicate something very important.
If you can, help me build this bridge back to you. I'm doing this because I love you. Saying this because I love you. Wanting this for you. Don't abandon me. For yourself.
For yourself.
For yourself. And the revelation of what truth is
there.
It's
there. He broke a contract with me, which sounds so ridiculous, but it was the most solemn and real oath
I ever made with anybody. I didn't want to hover or oppress him with my vibrations, so honored and proud that we have this meaning. It's like those gaucho balls tied between a rope. You know how one flings out and propels the other one around, and then again and again, creating more power as it moves forward. Way more power than just one ball being thrown through the air could achieve alone. So I'm not especially happy about the way I feel. That's an understatement. I see his pictures and I contract into empty space. Because heroin is not part of our contract. Was a negation and a revelation of who he was. Somehow, not entirely, but enough so where it defined his destiny. No amount of tears would bring him back from the dead, or reverse time, where I could stop this or help him. But if you're shooting heroin or any of that other bullshit, then you know what it is. I want you to feel what you're really doing, which is killing part of your parents, your siblings, your friends, and leaving their husks to shepherd themselves through a future that is diminished. And that's a nice way of putting it. Here's a song my son wrote and sang. I won't listen to it. I can't. Not right now. But you might like to hear it. Thanks for listening, Mr. Nobody.
Oh, sorry, some are simply slain.